Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to Should I Delete That? I'm Alex Light.
And I'm Em Clarkson. How are you doing, Al?
And Em Clarkson has just completed the London Marathon. Well, not just a few days ago, but basically just. I imagine you're still feeling the effects of it.
I should be wearing my medal. Why aren't I wearing my medal? What a loser.
Why aren't you wearing your medal?
Apparently, if you wear your medal around London, you get free Frankenmanca pizza, and if you go to one of the Ivy restaurants, they give you a glass of champagne.
Stop it.
And what the fuck am I doing still at home? What a loser.
What are you doing? Frankenmanca is like my favourite pizza in the world.
I've never had one.
You've never had one?
I know.
We'll use this as your perfect excuse.
To have one.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Go on, how are you? Talk to us.
I'm actually really good, but I've got the biggest thank you of my life to give to you and to the podcast listeners. Aww. Because I'm going to cry even thinking about it. Like, it was the most emotional day of my life. And in the morning, no, not you, I've had a baby. One of the most emotional days of my life. And Al sent me a text in the morning and she said, like, don't open this, like, don't watch this until you need it, like, don't watch it until you're like balls deep in the marathon, basically. I was like, okay, and I sort of forgot about it, and then, well, I didn't actually forget, because I was like, oh, should I watch it early? And I was like, no, I'm not gonna watch it early, I don't need it. And then at like mile 22, I felt like my breathing went so weird. I talked about it a bit on Instagram. My breathing went so weird, and I thought it was panic at the time, but I now know it was asthma, because I went to a doctor. But I was feeling so like this, and I was so emotional. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I need to walk for a bit. And I watched this video. And when I tell you, I was crying the ugliest tears. Aww. Walking, obviously, like, staring at my phone. Like, what kind of a marathon was I running? But if you don't know, guys, Alex made a compilation of you guys. Did you hide your stories from me?
I asked Em to hide the should I delete that stories, block you from them.
Oh, man.
So actually, I probably need to remind her to unblock you.
yeah, that's what I thought. So I basically, Al made like a 6-minute video of you guys just wishing me luck. I'll cry again. Like, I was hysterical. Like, I was just, and people were like, go on, Em, and then looking at me like, oh no, she's like medical professionals, like, are you all right? Like, don't talk to me. it was amazing. Like, it was just one of the best 6 minutes of my whole life. I was so grateful.
It was so nice. People sent the loveliest things in, and one girl read out a poem by Donna Ashworth.
That poem
was so stunning.
I was just crying. Like, honestly, I was like, I don't deserve it. What have I done to deserve all these nice people? And like, and oh my god, all of you, like, you guys doing that, and then like Alex was there with Arlo, which was no mean feat. Like, I had an easier day than him, but my friend Soph and Hugs came with their two kids. They came with Innie, who's three, and Delilah, who's the same age as Arlo. Like, so there was the three of them with three kids between them, and then my mum and my sister were at a different point, and like my friend Katie was at mile 12 and I wasn't expecting her, and it was just like, it meant so much. Like, I was like, oh man. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to cry.
And that little, I don't know what you call it, the thing you put over your shoelace.
Shoelace tag that Alex made.
Yeah. said like go mummy or something, like I love you mummy.
It was mad. Like I've never felt this is so tragic. I've never felt so loved before.
Oh, that's so lovely.
I'm going to cry again. I was like, oh my God, what have I done to get so lucky that like all my, like the messages online were like ridiculous. Like they were so kind and there were so many of them. I was like, oh my God, all these people are in my corner and they don't care how fast I run. They're just proud of me. It was mad. And then I was like, oh, I'm crying again. And then it was just the most unreal thing. And like, I don't know, I've run marathons before, but I wouldn't go back for any of them. But London, I would just do every, like, it was, people are so nice. Aww. Like, the crowds were so cool, the signs were so funny, there were people everywhere. Other runners, like, I had one girl who was one of my hags, and I didn't know, you know, like, and I was running, and at, like, mile 23, I could, like, oh, no, even later, like, mile 25, like, it was so close to the finish line, and I just couldn't do it, and I was walking, and I just felt this hand on my back, and she was just like, I'm a hag, and you can do this.
Oh,
and I was
like, stop it! Oh, that's gonna make me cry.
And she was like, I've been on the struggle bus all day, but I'm gonna do it and you're gonna do it too. And I was like, oh my God. And like,
oh my,
I don't
God,
know,
that's so nice.
I know that sort of thing happens so much. And actually a guy who was running for the same charity as her, they were just a really, really nice bunch of people, at one point as well came up behind me and he was like, it's 3 miles left, you've got this. Like when I was walking, I was like, oh my God, you're so nice. Like, I don't know, people were just really lovely, like other runners, spectators. And like when I was walking, because I had my name on my t-shirt, people were like, M, until I started running again. I was like, no.
That's so much pressure though. When you're just like,
I actually can't breathe though. Like my, I'm like, it's like fun, but also I can't breathe. Don't make me run.
I'm so happy. It was such a nice and magical experience for you, because I know that it has been really hard.
Yeah,
it's been tough to like try and juggle everything, and you know it's not been easy, the training, has it at all? And you got a PB.
Yeah, right, a massive one. So Cooper, the people that I run, the training app that I became an ambassador for, they were the official sponsors of the marathon. They say on their advertising it's like PB guaranteed, and I was like, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. But I ran 33 minutes faster than my last marathon.
That's
huge. And like this one as well, like if I hadn't, like, I mean, obviously everyone with a marathon time doesn't, like it doesn't matter about the time, but I know because of my breathing, apparently the pollen was really high. So I went to see a doctor because I've had asthma. I'm a wheezy gal. I've had asthma, like I've got an inhaler. But I just wasn't sure. Anyway, when I don't eat dairy, I just don't really have asthma. That's basically how it goes. So generally, right. I'm fine. Like I had a couple of asthma attacks like 10 years ago, and then I've been fine for this whole time. But I couldn't catch my breath. And even when the marathon finished, I couldn't catch my breath. And then I went to the doctor and she was like, I'm seeing loads of people in the clinic. There's really high pollen. I was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Right.
I know that if I'd had a check on my breathing, if I'd had more confidence in my breathing, I'd have known I'd have done sub 5, and I never could have dreamt of that. Like I did it in 5 hours, 5 minutes, which is so quick for me. And I wanted sub 5, and I'm not even annoyed
bloody
that I didn't
quick.
Get it. Yeah, for me, it was mad. And like, and you're right, like it was such a big sacrifice, and it felt so selfish at times doing this training. Like, you know, it was time away from Arlo, and it was time where Alex had to really step up. And like, I think he realised more than I did, like, I'm gonna cry again, but like the importance of it for like bringing me back to myself and like finding myself postpartum and like finding who I am as a mom, and like I don't know, it was just so important. It just felt so important that I did it, and like and I've done it, and I'm just like, I'm so proud.
Do you know
of myself.
What that's so lovely to hear. And I think I didn't realize that, because I think I've only kind of seen the sacrifice that it's been in the struggle, and you've been, you know, wanting to, you're never going to give up, but like feeling like you might want to at points. And that is actually so true, because it's something that was really important to you before Arlo, wasn't it? Running was, and it's something that you said to me, like running is the time that's like, it's time for myself, time that I just don't get outside of running.
Yeah. And like, and I just don't, it's like time when, like my own head is so chaotic. Even before I had a kid, like my head's, you know, you watch the way I operate. My head's, you know, it's really full on. And like, it's just time where it's just like, don't have that. And like, I just have so much peace and like happiness, and I feel so strong. And yeah, I don't know. It just felt like, I can't, I don't know. It just,
it's like your it sounds like it's like your meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just didn't realize how important it was until like, until the very end of the training. Like, I don't think, cause whenever I went running, Alex would always text me. Like, because even in the mornings when I'd be like, I'm so tired, like, we didn't sleep, I'm still breastfeeding, like, I'm so, like, I just can't handle this. Why have I agreed to this marathon? Like, why have I done this?
Yeah.
And, like, every time I'd set off, he'd send me a text and my headphones would always read it out to me and he'd always say, this time is for you. Like, I have so many messages from him that just say, like, this time is for you.
Oh, he's the best.
I know, he's the best. And, like, and he always said it and I don't think, and I'd be like, yeah, no, it is. And that was a really good mindset shift for me because it, because when I was doing the training, and if it was horrible, I'd be like, this is for me, this is for me, this is my time, this is, make the most of it, because this is for me.
Yeah.
And it was only when I was, and I made this compilation of myself that I uploaded on Friday before the marathon. I looked at how far I've come in the last year, and I can see, God, I don't, when I look at the girl doing Couch to 5K, like, I can see that it's me, but when I see the one that is at the end of that video, I'm like, I'm so proud of her. Like, I'm so, and I see myself in her, and I see who I want to be. Like, I've become who I want to be. And, like, I don't know, it sounds really weird, but I just, no, I realized, like, I mean, how important it was.
No, it doesn't sound weird at all. I mean, I don't fully, you know, because I'm not a runner.
I don't get it.
Fucking hate it. I'm the opposite. It's like anti-meditation for me. I start running and, like, my mind floods with everything that I need to do and I need to just get back home and do it. No, but I get it. And how you're explaining it, I really do get it. And I think it's clear to see how important this was for you. And you absolutely smashed it.
I can't believe it. I did fucking smash it. Although I've got to say, I did finish it. And I said to my mum on the finish, because I wasn't okay, actually. Like, my breathing, like, yeah, my breathing was just so fucking weird. And I knew if I went to the medical, because I felt physically fine for the first time ever. With all the marathons before, it's never felt that good. But I knew that if I went to the medical bit, they'd say that I couldn't finish it. So I was like, I'll just get to the end. And then I realised that running was kind of the same as walking. Didn't really make a difference. Like, I couldn't really breathe either way. So I was like, well, I might as well run. And then I got to the finish line and they make you walk really well, but I got across the finish line and my heart was like, I couldn't breathe. And I was trying to speak and I was like crying. And this one woman, oh my God, this American lady, never met her before. We'll never see her again. She just looked at me and I was sobbing and she went, are you okay? And I just was like, no. And she gave me the tightest hug of my life. She's like, I am so proud of you. Like, you've done it. And I was like, oh my God. And then I was like sobbing on it. I was like, okay, I need my mom now. Cause this is embarrassing. And, and I still couldn't breathe. And it was really weird. I got to my mom, like, I'd walked like a mile and I was so cold. Like, I had the tinfoil cape on, my lips had gone blue. And then I got to her, I couldn't speak. And I was like literally typing on my phone to be like, I can't speak because I can't breathe. And then I said, sit down, like, take my belt off, take my bra off, and just sit. And then it came back, but I was so cold. And I said to my mum, I was like, I can't do this again. I don't think marathons are for me. Like, I don't think I can do this again. And then literally on Monday I was sitting there and I was like, okay, so next time.
Next stop.
It's so weird how the, it's like, but can I just also say, people say all the time, like, if you can have a baby, you can run a marathon. Having a baby is way better than running a marathon, because at the end of a baby, you have a baby. At the end of the marathon, I was sitting there, I was like, the fuck have I got to show for this? Like, nothing.
A medal?
Yeah, which is weird to wear.
It is quite weird. Well, are you going to do it again? Will you do another marathon?
I would do it again, 100%.
So only London? You wouldn't do others?
No, I've now thought, it would be, how cool would it be to do the big six? There's like, I can't remember what they all are, but like New York's one of them and London's one of them. So I've already done two. So I'm like, well, I've done two out of six.
Okay.
So I could go to Paris. What are the others? Paris, you could come to that. That way,
with. I would 100%.
No doubt. Boston, which is so like iconic.
Yes.
You could come to Boston. That'd be fun.
You don't have to come to Paris. I've got a friend who lives there. I'd like that.
Tokyo. Cool. Should have done it when I was there. And I can't remember the other one. It's maybe Berlin.
That's quite cool. That could be a very long-term goal, like a very, very long-term goal.
I know. Yeah, very lifetime goal. Yeah. But I just loved London. I was so proud. Like, I'm a Londoner. Like, you know, I've always been London. I'm so proud. I was just so proud. And I was so proud of all the London people. Like, people were so fucking nice. It's like London at its very best. Yeah. I could never have imagined everyone being so amazing. And I got to come home to my own bed. Like, what a win.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It does bring people together, doesn't it? In a way that, I mean, I've never seen any other marathon, but I've been a couple of times. I couldn't come to yours because I'm away in Cyprus. But I've been a couple of times, and it brings people together like no other event that I've ever been to before. There's just like, there's so much. And I think because everyone knows that there's so much like good work being done as well, like these incredible amounts of money being raised for these charities that really need it. And it's just, and your charity.
I raised £5,000 just over the weekend.
That is so cool.
I'm so delighted. And we'll talk about it more on the pod, actually, because it was because we interviewed the prison doctor, and what she said really stuck with me about women and homelessness. And I was so staggered when so 18 Keys is, a friend of my mum's really involved with it. So when I was talking to my mum about, because a couple of weeks ago, the government passed something or talked about passing something, which is fundamentally, as far as I understand it, going to make homelessness illegal. They basically are saying that you can't have a foul smell in public. You can't be seen to look as if you're about to put up a tent. Like, you can't, basically, you can't be home. Yeah, like, you right. can't be on the yeah. streets. Like, and you can't be in shop windows, also doorways. And I was listening to the news on that, just being like, where the fuck is our humanity? This yeah. is so disgusting. And then I was thinking about the, and then I actually just met this lovely woman who's on the streets near where I live. And I saw her last, the Friday before the marathon, and she didn't speak any English. And I was just, I thought, how, because she had a sign and she said, I'm homeless and I'm hungry. So she was by a Tesco. So I was like, okay, I'll go in and get you something. What would you like? And she couldn't speak any English. I was like, this must be the most terrifying place in the whole right. wide world. I can't think of anywhere right. more scary than for her right now, in a country where she yeah. can't even speak the language, she can't even ask for the help that she needs. How is she going to be okay? So I spoke to my mum about her, because I've seen her a lot since, actually. Good, because Arlo can't speak either, so they've kind of got a good thing going now, where they can't speak to each other, but they seem to get on great. But then I spoke to my mum about her, and mum was telling me about this project, 18 Keys, and basically I spoke to this woman, Caroline, who's running it and funding it and getting the money for it, and she was telling me that 60% of homeless people in the UK are women, and we just do not wow. see that, like, you know, that's what we see on the streets does not reflect that. And that's because the streets are so dangerous during the day for women, and sorry, during the night for women. So they very often sleep during the day out of sight, so they can be awake at night, and they stay on the buses. They go to like airport terminals. They basically go to like places that are open 24 hours a day with CCTV that are warm, because the streets are so dangerous. But she was also telling me how hostels for men are often a first resort, whereas for women, they'll be a last resort. Because if you go to a hostel as a woman, you don't get, in most cases, specific rooms or amenities, gender-based.
Right.
So you may end up in a shared room with a man, or a shared bathroom with men, which obviously, you know, I think it's some crazy statistics about how many women on the streets are escaping domestic and sexual violence. And obviously, a hostel's not a guaranteed safe place. So women very often don't go to them, and they will finally go as a last resort, by which point often they are so unwell and in such need of help that the hostels will turn them away, because they are too sick to access what the hostel basically can support them with. So it's a horrific tragedy and a crisis and a shame. Like, great, we should feel great shame about the state of affairs. So 18 Keys is basically this amazing project that is taking an already existing hostel and it's making it into an intensive treatment centre for women. And the idea being that you can stay up to 12 months and you can receive full, like, around, like, full 360 care. Because so often, most of these places at this point are just signposting, and they're signposting you to places, to things that have been cut. You know, like, with all the cuts that are happening all the time, very often treatment for homeless people, maybe facing addiction, maybe facing whatever it is, you know, they're the first things that do get cut. So they're offering full therapy and support, helping people maybe get back with their kids, helping women get back into work, get back on their feet, get clean if that's what they need to do. And then they've also, what they're funding now, because they've already funded the sort of bulk of it, they're now funding these sort of like two, I can't remember what they're called, but like for like the night, like sort of emergency rooms for the night. So they should be able to help up to 750 women a year.
Wow.
And yeah, and you guys were so generous, and we've raised £5,000 for me over the weekend, which is just make me cry again, because that was just, people were so generous, which was just so amazing.
Who founded the charity? What's the story?
Yeah, so it's part of St Martin's in the Field Trust, which is a big church in the centre of London. And this woman, Caroline, is just working tirelessly. I think she's done a lot of research, there's a lot about it on the website, and into this issue basically, and they've been using the fund to basically the St Martin's in the Trust St Martin's in the Field Trust have been funding this project, and then what we've done is just what we've done with the marathon was like specifically I've just been raising specifically rather than for their trust specifically for this project. And I think, like, if you're up for it, Al, I'd like to do an episode more specifically about what they're doing.
I was going to suggest it, and that we get her on to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we'll do an episode on that, which would be
amazing.
Great.
And let's put the link to your fundraising in the show notes as well.
Yes, please. Just in case anyone's got like a spare pound.
Literally a spare pound. That'd be so cool. And I think people are always like embarrassed. I keep thinking that. To, you know, people who don't have the means, are they're embarrassed to, you know, to donate what they can, which often can only be like a pound, a couple of quid. But imagine, and it goes back to this, you know, this old thing, but like, if everyone who's listening to this, or everyone who's downloaded this, if everyone was to give a pound, we'd have the charity would have thousands of pounds. So,
yeah, tens of thousands. I think that, yeah, and it's, you know, the people that were donating, you know, many of them, it was like 1, 2, 5 pounds, and look, got us to five so quickly. And that's just, I don't know, it's just the power of kindness. Like, that's how I feel right now. I just feel like I'm glowing.
Are you on a high?
Something about the marathon, but yeah, and it's like, it's not even my high. I just feel so like honoured to have shared the day with like these amazing people. I was running at one point alongside a couple who were pushing somebody, maybe their son, in a wheelchair, and he had a breathing tube, feeding tube, breathing. And it's like,
oh my God.
You're like, wow.
Oh, that's gonna make me cry.
And I know, and you know, Millie Pickles did it with you know, all the photos with blood just pouring out of her shoe. And like, and that young boy, the 19-year-old guy who was the youngest person ever to complete London Marathon with Down syndrome.
Oh God, I sobbed at that video.
And that lovely guy, Paz, I know, who was running for his son who he lost in a car accident. And like, that lovely man who had three types of cancer and a colostomy bag, and he ran it playing the fucking trombone that whole way. And like, people are just amazing. And I met a woman running with a fridge on her back.
I mean.
A fridge. And she was the first woman to do that. Men do it quite a lot, and she was the first woman to do that.
I want to donate to her too, because my God, doing that with a fridge on your back.
A fridge!
But there's another influencer, she's called Bex Campbell. She did, oh God, I really wish we're recording on our phones, which is really annoying because I'd love to check it. But she ran for a charity for her parents. I think it was cancer. Oh, I don't know, I'm butchering this. But she is, I think, 4 months postpartum. And she did it. Four! So she's the same as me, which is just an absolute joke. Like, an absolute joke.
I did couch to 5K at 4 months. And it nearly killed me.
I think that would, my limit is like stairs at the moment. So
Jesus, 14 months and my scar has been sore since I did it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how she gave birth, but I know, unbelievable. Just insane. Incredible. Yeah.
That's it though, like you just share the day with these people and it's like no one gets up in the morning and does it for no reason. No one does something like that for no reason. Like everybody has their why. And the whys are so powerful and it's just so leveling.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you do it in 2 hours or 7 hours.
And like, that's the thing. It really doesn't, does it?
Leveling.
It really doesn't.
No, and I think it's one of the only sports where the athletes and the amateurs run the same race.
Yeah.
And there's something so beautiful in that.
And it's so funny because like I wasn't even interested in what you did it in. I was just like, has she made it?
No.
Like, is she okay? Is she at the finish line? Like, yeah, I just don't care. I mean, to be fair, I don't even know like I don't even know times for like what is normal anyway. But yeah, it's just, I don't think people really care that much, do they? It's just like, just.
People don't care at all. It's interesting that I never cared. I'm a very slow runner, always have been, and I never cared before I had Arlo. And I think, I don't feel like I had anything to prove per se, but to come back, I think because my pregnancy was so rough and my birth was quite rough, you know, C-sections are, I mean, every birth is rough in its way.
Yeah.
But it strips you back to a point of such vulnerability and weakness in a way, and such strength as well, but such weakness in terms of how frail you are and how fragile you are. And a year ago from the marathon, you know, a year ago from now, I still wasn't sitting up in bed confidently. You know, I was 3 months postpartum, really. I couldn't, you know, the stairs were a lot. I couldn't run. And I don't know. And the speed kind of did matter to me this time because it was like, look what you've done. Like, you're so much stronger than you've ever been. And like, how cool's that?
That app.
And that felt app like...
Cooper.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still going. I hope it is. But if you want to try it, you can do it for, this isn't an ad because my contract's ended, but if you use M2, you can get 2 weeks for free.
You're speaking to the listeners, right? Not to me. Like, if they want to try it, because I'm not.
You can give it a go. It was just, I actually messaged Pete, who founded it. He's an amazing guy. He's been through so much. And I messaged him afterwards because I ran the first little bit with his wife, who's so lovely. And she's been through so much. And they're just such lovely people. And he's just done something so cool with that app. And I was like, I can't tell you how grateful I am. They've completely changed. They've changed everything. Like,
amazing.
I never could have done that on my own. I wouldn't have had a clue. And I don't know. It's just, you want to do something really funny though?
Go on.
So Georgie's upstairs.
Oh.
She's come to stay. She's had two strokes in the last month, right?
No.
And bear in mind, she's also had stage 4 cancer twice. I got out the shower this morning and she went, I've done something stupid. I was like, what did you do? She went, no, it's really stupid. I was like, what have you done? And she turned her phone around. She's entered the ballot for London Marathon next year.
She's going to bloody do it, isn't she?
I know. She's like, is it just me that gets like marathon fever, even though I literally can't run like 1 kilometre? So next year we'll all be supporting her.
Oh my God, I hope so. That would be really cool. I mean, she's been through the ringer physically, so possibly not ideal, but then maybe it is. I don't know.
To get her back strength.
It will be quite jokes. Love that.
If she gets it now, if she get like, I think that'll be really funny.
Do you have any, apart from your asthma, do you have any physical, have we got like some toe content to look forward to again?
Not even, you know.
Thank
big
God.
Toes, I know. Yeah, big toenail. She's a little fragile. She's a little bruised, but she's cool. She's on. That's the most important thing. She's on.
She's alive and kicking.
Yeah. No, all my toenails. I think I do actually have Cooper to thank for this as well, because I think I just got my training right. I feel fine. I feel really fine. My knees were a bit sore, if I'm honest. Sunday night was bleak. And so Sunday night, my hips were a bit tight. And then my scar was just tight. Like, that's been my biggest issue. Yeah, I think it's, you know, your abs and stuff. So my scar was the biggest thing. But otherwise, I feel fine. It's Wednesday now. I was going to go for a run this morning, and then we decided to record
please.
Early.
Please. Oh,
I know,
please.
I was like, I'll just go for a little jog.
No, do not do that. That's stupid.
Why not? I feel all right. That's the weird
go
thing.
For a
actually,
nice
I feel
walk
all right.
With Georgie.
Boring. Boo. How's Cyprus before we wrap it up? Talk all about me today.
It's definitely not as exciting as your week has been, but we are good. We're having a nice time. It's a little bit difficult to be out of routine, isn't it, with a baby. I'm discovering it's a bit hard. Like, you kind of have everything set up for you at home. You get to a point where everything's set up for you, and it's quite hard to like move all of that to another place. And sleep has gone totally out the window, which is great.
Who is she?
We're having a huge issues with that, so that's fun.
But he's 4 months. That's the time. That's the four. It's a regression, baby. Hang in there.
I know.
It is all temporary.
Is it?
Yes, I promise. I made
the mistake.
Talk to me. Talk to someone else. Talk to another one. I can't give you what you need, but.
I made the mistake of asking on Instagram about like when sleep regression started, the 4 months started. Because I was thinking, oh, is it going to start soon? But people misinterpreted what I was asking and thought I was saying, how long does it last for? And I read it and like, I read about five entries into the prompt box and like, just cried because I was like, okay, so basically I'm never sleeping again. This is just my life now.
Arlo slept until 5 a.m. She does that now.
From what time?
From bedtime.
What time's bedtime?
6-7 p.m.
Okay, that makes me happy.
She sleeps.
That's good.
Since we stopped breastfeeding, lol. For the most part, she will sleep to about 4 or 5 a.m.
Okay, that is.
I can do that.
Coming.
And look, she's always been a truly appalling sleeper. At least Tommy was good in the beginning, which means he knows what to do, which means it'll probably come back a lot sooner. She had to learn.
I hope so.
You know, she's been learning on the go the whole time. He's got it in him. I back him.
The fucking dummy. Honestly, it's like, it's like the best thing in my life and also the worst thing in my life at nighttime, because he'll only go to sleep with it. But when he spits that out and he started rolling, so we can't swaddle him anymore. So arms are out, and he like he's playing with his arms and flicks the dummy out. And the moment that dummy comes out, he's like, that's the noise making. It's always just as I drift off. Anyway,
they say if you don't use the dummy, you are the dummy.
You are the dummy. Yeah,
I've been the dummy. I'm still the fucking dummy. I don't even breastfeed anymore. We didn't get her a comforter that wasn't me. I am still that. And I'm like, I'm trying to replace myself with her little blue elephant. I'm like, look how much softer it is than me. Look how much more accessible it is than me. Look, I'm all the way upstairs. Why don't you just hang out with Ellie? She's got you. She's not the same.
It's not the same.
Holidays are tiring with a baby.
Yeah. Doesn't feel very holiday-like.
No. It does get that gets easier.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Everything gets easier.
That's good to hear.
I promise. Every single thing. Can't think of a single thing that's got harder.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. It's all better. Everything's better.
Doing some fun stuff like the regression has come with like him being awake more in the daytime and like being more awake in himself and like developing, and like that's really cool. You know, he's rolling and he's like, you know, laughing at me and stuff. So that makes up for it kind of,
with
does
you
it?
Happy.
I don't know. Definitely at me.
And then everybody else.
Okay, well, enough about me. And we're also proud of you. Well done. You did the London Marathon after having a baby and in record time. So cool. And you raised a lot of money for a really cool charity. Again, reminder that the link will be in the show notes.
We all love you very much.
Yeah, thanks for
thank
everyone.
Thank you. No, like, Al, thank you so much. And, like, everyone that sent the video and, like, sent me a message. And, like, I feel so lucky. I just feel so lucky. Like, I literally feel like the luckiest person in the world.
There were also a lot of people who wanted to submit a video, but said they didn't like feel comfortable on camera or...
Yeah, I get that.
But there were loads of people that were like, please like pass on like my cheer to her. So
I felt that. I really felt that. Like, I've genuinely never felt love like it in my whole, and I don't know if I ever will again. I really don't. It was just, aww. I've never felt community and love like it. I'll go again. Leave me to weep. I'm a mess.
Well, we love you very much. Well done.
I love you guys. Thank you. And we'll be back on Monday with a new interview. Back next week talking less about me on Thursday, probs, unless I do something really raucous this weekend, and the potential is there, because where are we going on Sunday, Al?
To Magic Mike.
Go to Magic Mike. So yeah, next Thursday's episode will be all about that. How did that muscle?
I'm so scared.
It's gonna be a hoot. It's gonna be a hoot.
It's gonna be a hoot. I can't wait. Right, guys, we will see you on Monday. Thank you so much. We love you.
Bye. Love you guys. See you later. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. Should I Delete That is part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.